This is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing.
And Betsy Todd, clinical editor.
And we're here to present the highlights for the last issue of 2018, our December issue. And on the cover this month, we have this wonderfully peaceful photo of a beautiful bucolic scene from Yosemite National Park. And we purposely chose this photo to just give people a peaceful respite from all the angst of the year. There's been a lot going on in healthcare and politics, and we thought we all just wanted to kind of end the year on a peaceful note. We do mention that there's been a movement that is growing in popularity called forest bathing, and it's the mindful appreciation of nature, walking about in nature and smelling and seeing and touching all the wonderful aspects of nature, and really using it to decompress and relieve stress. And it's been supported by studies that this does help, especially with blood pressure. So we hope you find the cover attractive and get a peaceful moment from gazing at it. The rest of the issue, we feel, is up to our usual standards of good clinical content and research and timely topics. The original research this month is a piece on advanced care planning, and it's an exploration of the beliefs, self-efficacy, education, and practices of RNs and LPNs. And what the authors of this study did was that they looked at nurses, RNs and LPNs who are working in skilled nursing facilities, and asked them about their advanced care planning related beliefs, their education in this topic, and how often and when they usually speak to some of the residents about this. We have a lot of information from advanced care directives planning in hospitals, but very little in long-term care. And I think the study is really important in that it does include LPNs, who are certainly valuable members of our care team, and the people who are closest to working with many of the elderly in the skilled nursing facilities. Many facilities are largely staffed by LPNs, so it's important to learn what their experiences are. I did a podcast interview with the authors of the study, and you can listen to that by either clicking on the icon on the article page, or if you go to our podcast page. Betsy, do you want to talk about our CE offering and our QI report?
Yes, great. Our second CE article is Managing Movement Disorders, a Clinical Review. The article discusses the pathophysiology and assessment of three different common neuromuscular disorders: muscle tightness, spasticity, and clonus, and the treatment options for each. If you think about it, even though these are really common terms to us, there is very little in the nursing literature about these topics. And I found the descriptions and the information on managing these three conditions really enlightening and helpful. So check this one out. It's new information to a lot of us, I think. And then we have another neat article that is our Cultivating Quality article for the month, and this is Creating a Culture of Mobility, Using Real-Time Assessment to Drive Outcomes. And here the authors describe how they implemented an intervention based on the use of three new assessment tools to promote awareness of the importance of early mobility among nurses and PT and OT staff on an inpatient orthopedic unit. So they really wanted to standardize how people were being assessed to ensure that they got up and about more quickly. So once again, you know, nursing comes up with a great idea of a way to ensure that an essential nursing measure, getting people up and moving, is really scheduled and happens as quickly as possible. So they make a huge difference in the patient's recovery, and it's really exciting what they've put together here.
We're also happy to bring in our Quality Counts column an article, Choosing Wisely, Campaign for Nursing. Many of you may be familiar with the campaign that was begun with our medical colleagues on what medical procedures perhaps shouldn't be done or shouldn't be recommended for standard use. And the American Academy of Nursing worked with other associations to come up with the nursing list of what should be a choosing wisely procedures and processes. So there's about 25 evidence-based recommendations that you can use to evaluate your own practice and the practice of your institution on what should we really be thinking about and who should really be getting certain procedures. There's another great addition to our transition column. Betsy?
Oh, okay. This is the transition to practice column that's really aimed at new nurses. And this one is on delegating as a new nurse. The article provides strategies that new nurses can use and specific steps to take to help them succeed in delegating tasks to LPNs and unlicensed assistive personnel. And I must say that it took me years to learn the most effective and positive ways to delegate, especially in situations where coworkers weren't really big on cooperation. So I wish I'd had this article many years ago. And I think that even someone who is not a new nurse will find some helpful tips here.
Yes, it's a really helpful article, I thought. We also, of course, have our other departments. We have a viewpoint on the ethics of slow codes and what those implications are for nurses. And yes, those are still going on. And the author of the viewpoint raises some very good points about the ethics around this and really some good food for thought. In the news, we have articles on the American pregnancy, looking at how zip code matters in terms of how successful or fraught-free your pregnancy might be. We also include in the news the 2018 flu vaccine recommendations for adults and children, the first ever guidelines for diagnosing and managing concussion in children, and we have an article that focuses on whether state regulations on nurse staffing make a difference in ICU outcomes. There was a recent study done by physicians who questioned that, and we asked a nurse expert, Sean Clark, if he would review the article, the study, and do a commentary. We also have an AGN Reports article on what nurses need to know about cybersecurity, an update from the CDC on infant safe sleep practices in the United States. The Cochrane Corner talks about the analgesic efficacy of opioids in cancer pain. Professional development, this was a very neat piece. It's Get On Board with Being On a Board. I did a podcast also with the author, Blima Marcus, and she talks about what nurses need to think about, not only in how to get on a board, but once they're on a board, what some of their responsibilities might be. So if you're thinking about participating on a board or just dipping your toe in the water and looking at what you need to think about, this is a great article to do that. We also have a nursing resources piece on human trafficking, resources to help identify it and what you should do if you think you have a patient who is involved in human trafficking. And we highlight best of the blogs and some AGN archives. And we also say our annual thank you to the peer reviewers, without whom our quality would certainly suffer. The peer reviewers are nurses who are experts in certain content areas or in research or QI, and we really rely on them to help us keep our standards up in terms of the quality and accuracy and timeliness of the content that we deliver to you. So I'd like to use this time to say thank you to everyone for all the support for AGN over the last year. We wish all of you happy holidays, however you celebrate it, and hope you find a peaceful end to this year and certainly a happy new year. Betsy, you want to chime in?
Yes, happy holidays and happy new year. Mm-hmm.